You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. For those of you that remember Alan Jackson water skiing in his video down the Chattahoochee River in his, I think it was in a long, pair of long pants. Do you remember this video, Mike? Yes or no?
That was funny. Yeah, that was a good video.
It was a great video.
It was a great video.
But he's in his cowboy hat.
Yes, he is.
Water skiing down that Chattahoochee River and in a pair of, I don't know, he used to wear those jeans that were cut. He was like way before his time. Now, like, everybody wears them. But Alan Jackson. Yep. It's raining in Granbury. A little lightning, a little thunder. What's going on?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of lightning. There's a lot of rain. There's a lot of thunder. It's good.
All right.
Really good.
You sound better than you sounded yesterday.
I didn't have a headache today.
So now, is that flirting migraine or just a headache, normal headache, or what?
No, like I said, it starts off, every day it starts off, you know, with something.
Yesterday
was kind of weird.
Every day?
Every day.
Whoa.
I see this every time to you. You say the same thing. Every day?
I don't know that I've
heard that. Every single day. Tomorrow? Yes. Day after that? Yes. 6 Tuesdays from now? Yes. Mm-hmm. Let me play fortune teller. But Mike, what about October 9th?
Yeah, what about October
2022? Yes. If I'm still here, yes. Hmm. If the comet hasn't
hit,
done what I asked it to do, I want to ask you something.
Yes.
I thought clubbing of seals was banned after National Geographic played that stuff back in the early 80s, you know, where they get on the ice and they walk out there and they hit these fur seals over their head, baseball bats, people, outrage. Outrage. Right?
I will plead ignorance. I know there was a huge public outcry about it. I know the Japanese pay no attention to any of that. They continue to, you know, continue to do their thing.
I witnessed it yesterday in New York. Oh my God. I felt so
but
bad.
But you know what? It didn't matter.
I mean, I was like,
it didn't matter.
I know, but it was bad.
It didn't matter though.
It
doesn't matter.
Bad.
You want to know why?
You do not want to be wearing a Boston Red Sox jersey on the subway coming back from that stadium yesterday night.
First of all,
in action right now.
First of all, the stadium had been cleared out, so you could have fired a cannon through either the yellow line or the green line, and you would have hit nobody except maybe Red Sox fans. But the reason it didn't matter is, for whatever reason, the Yankees cannot beat Nathan Eovaldi. He is 6-7. He is 6-7 this year. 6 wins, 7 losses. He is 3-0 against the Yankees, and I think he's yet to give up a hit. I mean, yet to give up a home run.
I thought Eovaldi was 7.
Yeah, he's like 6. He's lost 7 times. He's won 6. He's shut out the Yankees like 3 times. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And so it's like he's pitching. Yeah, it's not going to work out good. It's not going to work out good. So whether they scored, two runs or 16 runs,
being thrown at the Red Sox, it was like, what the hell are they doing?
As the scrubs.
Yeah.
But you know the
guy.
Let's not get carried away. I will tell you this though is you know you make your money in the postseason, and the Yankees have a guy named Luis Severino who was the best pitcher in the American League in the first half of the season, and he's absent in the playoffs. Last year he pitched, I want to say he didn't get out of the first inning in the wild card game. So it's kind of interesting when you shine the spotlight on different on different things, on different events in life. There's people that can perform, and there's people that don't perform.
And well, today you got Big Boy pitching tonight, right? Pitching today.
Yeah, today's a toss-up.
It's the old-timer.
Two very experienced guys, both Cy Young Award winners, Sabathia and Rick Porcello. Porcello's been tough on the Yankees, except the last time he pitched in New York, he gave up 5 runs in 4 innings or something like that. So
yeah, but he is tough on the Yankees, and the Yankees have a tough time hitting him.
Yeah, so. But in Fenway, not in Yankee Stadium. Fenway. So
yeah, if Porcello was playing
in Boston
yesterday night, it would have probably been a loss.
Well, if he's pitching in Boston, it's hard.
It's going to be hard for Yankees to hit him.
They hit him last time. So what?
He's got to be pretty nervous right now. Bonsi's court.
Oh well, yeah, it's an elimination game. But CC Sabathia tends to be a big game pitcher. So I would tell you.
But you've become a long way. Let me give you some kudos to this.
No, look, I've seen it explode in my face before, so I'm not.
But you've come a long way. You normally wouldn't have this conversation with me back in the day.
No, I disagree. If you just want to throw gasoline around, I tend not to participate in that.
Wait a second. I'm not the only one. You got a gas can too, man. So don't.
I know, but one of the things that I would say is characterizes our relationship is a mutual respect for things we're passionate about. We both learned that we stay away from those things. But we can.
Yeah, you can't have this conversation, Brian.
No, you can't. He's incapable of it.
No, he's gets. Yeah, you would start if you just start highlighting. Like he would just ha ha.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't get to it.
He would be a fan. He would be a fan, and he would discuss it like a fan.
Yeah.
And so, as his root is a fanatic. Yeah, so, but I would say that tonight, first of all, the best team in baseball is the Houston Astros. One of the things that I didn't know about
it. Say that? Because they swept the.
No, because they're starting pitching. They run 3 guys out there that are pretty amazing. Their top 3 guys. And to beat them, you got to beat them twice, those guys. What? And Verlander. Right, the second guy who was better than Verlander the other day. What's his name? They got him from. Garrett Cole. They got him from Pittsburgh. He was better than Verlander in Game 2, and then in Game 3 they ran out. Dallas Keuchel, who used to be their number 1 guy. They run him out, and then this is what I didn't know. They have the best record in Major League Baseball out of their bullpen. They have the best bullpen in baseball. Which is I didn't know that. That was their Achilles heel in the last couple of years. Last year they won.
The only thing I hope for, I hope for 2 things. I hope for Boston to go. I'm cool with that.
Fan.
But I'm still nervous because like I said, they played such a great season this season. It's like, but the one thing I do I pray is the Dodgers to lose their ass to Milwaukee.
Why? Are you a Dodger hater?
I hate the Dodgers. Yeah. Ever since Lasorda.
he was easy to hate.
He's a toxic little troll of a man.
He's a great guy. You would love him. First of all, he is funny.
I'm sure he is.
He can tell a story, and he can curse like few people I've ever met. And he's a nice, nice guy. And he's funny, funny, funny. But he was burn it down Dodger blue, man. And
he was. And that's why I hated him.
My dad came up in the A's organization, and that's how he got to be a manager in the big leagues. And then he got fired. And then in successive years, we went to the Giants, right? Giant Dodger hater. Then the Padres, Padre Dodger hater. And then the Reds. Reds and Dodgers. At the time, the whole time, Lasorda is part of the big Dodger in the sky.
Your dad was in the National or the American League this whole time.
No, he bounced. He's a National League guy for a long time. With the Reds. I like the National League more. I like the National League more. I think it's more traditional. I like the strategy involved, the pitching changes. It's more thinking. American League is cookie cutter. You get the DH. He pitches the seventh. He pitches the eighth. He pitches the ninth. It doesn't lend itself to all the second guessing that goes on. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit more partial to the National League, but
right.
Yeah, but no, I agree with you. Tommy Lasorda. And then I met him, right? We go to lunch with him. His wife's name's Joe. You know, I'll tell you, sadly, he had a son die of AIDS in the early 80s. And his son committed suicide. Actually, he didn't commit suicide, died of AIDS. But he could never, you know, it destroyed him. He was his kid, right? Tommy Lasorda's kid. And then, you know, his world gets kind of ripped apart. And live in the same house in Fullerton that he's lived his whole life in. But, you know, after I met him, he's an easy guy to like. He's funny, Catholic.
I'm sure I would like him.
Yeah,
but
no,
I didn't
you
like
would.
A Dodger coach.
But, no, I'm with you, man. I hated him.
Okay.
With a passion.
Let's play a game. Let's do it. Today in history. What happened? You'll never get it. So I'm not even gonna listen.
Nikki Haley resigned.
Che Guevara is executed. That crazy freaking guy is killed down in South America. The socialist revolutionary and guerrilla leader, Che Guevara, age 39, is killed by the Bolivian army. I always like the pictures that they put him on display. Like, he's sitting in some kind of, like, wash rack. In a stretcher.
Yeah, you're kidding me. He's just, what is that noise? Can you mute that?
Yeah, let me mute that. That's my phone going crazy. Derek's muted.
Why are people texting you like that?
I don't know. I'm a popular person. Hey,
no kidding.
Two other things that's going to spark some interest here. Okay, number one, Oscar Schindler died in 1974, today.
On this date? Well, Mike, you know, the Che Guevara thing bothers me because he's been this. Now, if you see people that wear the T-shirt and like, he's this guy who fought for freedom and liberty.
No. He's as bad as they get, man.
No, he wasn't.
You say he's not as bad?
No, I mean, he was. Like, people.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like they wear their Che Guevara. I mean, remember?
They don't understand history. They don't understand history. You don't see people like you and me putting on Che Guevara because we know history.
Smart people. Remember that idiot at West Point? He had a Che Guevara T-shirt under his tunic, and he has.
I think it's funny, man.
He got booted out of the. He got booted out of the army. But yeah, and he had this thing. He had a picture of him with his tunic open and a Che Guevara T-shirt on, and then the sign in his barracks cover, which you wear during parades, right, with the bill and all that, that said "Communism will win." And this guy graduated from West Point, if you can imagine that. Yeah.
But people that wear those T-shirts, because I've seen them, you know, they're like, he's like a model. They think that Che Guevara and who's the crazy old man from Vermont? Bernie
Sanders.
Crazy old man from Vermont. Bernie and Che, you know, they're like, oh, these guys, you know, they're like one and the same. They have the same kind of beliefs. No. The difference is Che. Bernie's just crazy, and he's a whack job. Che was actually a criminal, you know. He was just a bad person who needed to be put down like a rabid dog, and he was.
And they, and you know, and here's the thing: they don't have. If you look at the way they live their lives, they don't have any problem exterminating people so that they can live the way they want to live. Okay, Castro never suffered, right? In spite of what was done to the Cuban people, Castro lived a pretty good life. And if you read about him, you're like, it's a private enterprise. Yes. Are they going to live under the same conditions that they're going to subjugate everybody else to? No, never. It's not how it works. So I'm like you.
But Oscar Schindler died.
I find it amusing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Idiots. Oscar Schindler. Who else? We like Oscar Schindler.
Here's another
Oscar
one.
Schindler.
So here's this one's kind of this one will spark. This can spark some serious talk. This is pretty neat. 1940. Battle of Britain.
Yes.
A German Luftwaffe launches a heavy nighttime raid in London, right. And the dome of St. Paul's Cathedral is pierced by one Nazi. They say Nazi bomb.
Don't say Nazi. Bomb.
It was a Luftwaffe, right. German army. There was no Nazi party guy in that plane. I can guarantee
you. No Nazi ordnance units.
Yeah, I always liked that. Yeah,
Nazi bomb. No, it wasn't. Leaving the high altar in ruin. So this careless bombing is what started England to the rally. You know, the Germans would have just stayed bombing the fields and the military installations. Yeah, they would have been upset, but that rally would have never really come. And this is what Churchill really kind of needed, was this. And then that famous photo. There's a famous photo.
St. Paul's
Cathedral burning.
Burning
at night.
Yeah.
And you know, so the Roman temple to the goddess Diana,
ooh,
once stood at that site at St. Paul's Cathedral. That's the whole tradition. You know, that was like 600 AD. Was St. Paul's been there? So it was just kind of a turning point for the Brits. And then it was also a good reason for the Brits to then go firebomb their cities. Oh, German, you want to do this? Okay, watch this.
The concept of total war.
Well, it turned into bullshit. That's what it turned into.
Wow.
Military targets, you know, they didn't really care. They went after civilian populace to just tear out the soul of the civilians, and you know that would have done something. It goes back, and then this goes back to the whole thing, the Dresden. And, the whole thing. Blitz.
Tokyo.
1940, the Blitz was still going.
And all of that. But nobody, you know, Mike, nobody had any compassion in World War II, right? It was...
No, they did. They lost it.
Yeah, this is a world war, and the population is a legitimate target when two nations are engaged in total war, and the extent, logical extent of that was dropping, you know, look at all the different targets we could have used for the atomic bombs. We could have dropped it off Tokyo Bay to put on this incredible display of the next one is going to be dropped on one of your cities. But we decided we have two. We don't know if they're really going to work, and we're not going to drop one. There will be no display. Do we drop this on a civilian, on a city? Answer, yes. So, and again, as Mike and I have talked before.
It's controversial.
Yeah. Oh, man. And the firebombing of Dresden, the firebombing of Tokyo, both more casualties. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
Concept of total war. Interesting. What else happened today in history?
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but the Gas House Gang wins the World Series.
Gas House Gang are the St. Louis Cardinals, for those of you who
don't know. Oh, look at you. You knew that, too.
Are you kidding me? Come on, man.
And they defeated who? The Tigers.
The Gas House Gang.
And you know what? So no one knows why they're actually called the Gas House Gang.
The Gas House Gang. I don't know why they're actually called the Gas House Gang. They have these video games.
The Gas House District in New York. This is how they dressed. If you look at a picture of like the 1934 cards when they're all like sitting there, they're all dirty, grungy, they're baggy, and that's what they call them, the Gas House Gang. They weren't like the Yankees in 1934 were clean cut, you know,
Yankees,
the Red Sox, clean cut. But the Cardinals, you look at a picture of the Cardinals, they look like a gang, and that's where it came stuck with, the Gas House Gang. They're brawlers, you know, they were fighting, you know, they got a bad rap, but they won. And it was called the Gas House Gang.
The Gas House Gang. They have videos of them kind of doing these juggling things and things with baseballs that are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I used to read about the Battle of Britain, you know, when we were in school, going to grammar school, and I was part of the Scholastic Book Club. I mean, those were the books that I would read. Guadalcanal Diary, Battle for Britain, things like that.
Well, I would read. I thought, the Battle of Britain was really big. I watched a lot of that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you. I mean, you just talk about St. Paul's Cathedral, and I can see the image in my brain. right? The image of St. Paul's on fire at night. It's a black and white image, and pretty amazing. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Hey, did you go see the movie Churchill?
No. I think I saw it on TV. It wasn't really too impressed.
I enjoyed the movie. Interestingly enough, right? And he's voted out of office in 1945 or 46, right after the war. Boom, he's done.
Yeah.
Pretty.
No, you're right.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
1949, Harvard Law School begins admitting women.
Whoa, really?
Yep. The downfall of mankind. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
You would have thought that the you would have thought that a liberal university like Harvard would have been,
like, let them in the early 20s.
Yeah, would have been on the cusp of history relative to that.
No.
Evidently not. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. What else on today?
You see, people today born on today.
Yes.
Hmm?
Let me ask
Charles
you.
Charles Rudolph Walgreen, 1873. Father of the modern drugstore.
A Walgreens still in existence around the country. Do you think, let me ask you, whenever I do Today in History, it seems like there's always somebody who has had their heads chopped off during the French Revolution. Do you think, this is what after your head's chopped off, do you think you have a brain, a thought, when your head's in the basket?
You know, that's always fun. Yeah, do you get like that? You're like, well, there's my body for that last second.
Right. Do you have that? Like,
you know,
whoa,
this is one of those, I guess we'll never know. I don't think about it when people ask me, like, do you think? And I say, no. You know why? Because it would require me getting my head chopped off. And I'm not really into getting my head chopped off quite yet.
If you had to risk an answer to that, what would your answer be?
My risk is it because it severs the spinal cord.
Yes.
It's lights out. It's like pulling a switch.
Yeah, but you can have your spinal cord severed and live a long life.
No. We're talking severed, like your body being, your brain being removed from your body.
Right. But your brain still has blood in it for at least a couple seconds.
I don't think it's going to work.
You don't. I think it is. I think it's other than, like, you feel that.
It can never be proved.
Right. Well,
that's the beauty of it. It's an argument that will never have a true answer.
So I'm curious, if you have an opinion about, do you still think that you have a brain wave for a second or two after your head goes into the basket in the guillotine, shoot me an email. I'm curious. I think you do.
Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Hey, you remember the World War II era cartoon Private Snafu?
You know, I've seen it. Not exactly familiar with it.
I watched a couple of them, and I'm always really funny to laugh. Like, this was humor for, like, these people.
Right.
You know, back in World War II. This was their type of humor. Hilarious.
It's pretty, yeah. It's pretty harmless.
Oh, they're really harmless. It's like, you know, like.
It's like, aw, shucks.
Yeah, like, oh, golly gee. That was like a bad word. Yeah. Don't you say that again. Here's a bar of soap. Get back in your corner.
Yeah. What was the other one? Kilroy was here. You saw
that was. I guess that was
the big nose, like over the fence and all that kind of stuff. That was here. It was obviously a different culture, man. The aw shucks culture that, you know, the culture of our grandparents.
Right.
If you could, let me ask you this. If you could live in any time,
what time would I have lived in?
Yeah, what time, where would you beam yourself down into if you could live in any one time?
Now, this is a tricky question.
It is a tricky question.
Because would I just be like a private, I mean, like, would I be the lowest of the low when I got down there? Or could I have, like, what?
No,
what
you would have.
What can I bring with me?
Well, you can't bring anything. You have to make do with what's there. But we can. No, you can't bring your Glock. You have to use weapons of the time. But you're not going to be a snuffy. You're going to be a person of substance. You're going to be like, you're going to walk in, and all of a sudden you're going to wake up, and they're going to say, Senator Musselman, would you like to see President Lincoln now, or would you care to wait till after lunch?
Oh, okay. So Lance, like,
you're going to be
take over someone else's.
Yeah, you'll be, instead of Daniel Calhoun.
If I said, like, medieval France, and then I land, and I'm like, and I land on a path, and I'm butt naked, and a bunch of horse crap, and then here comes the nobility knights running by and chops my head off.
Yeah, no, that's not, you're going to be a player in whatever time you beam yourself into.
Then I would come back to, like, the late 1700s, early 1800s of France.
Okay. And why?
And here's why. I would take over that country. I would. I would assassinate Napoleon Bonaparte.
Ooh. That would not have been popular.
And plus, all the French movies of all the French girls in those dresses with their hiked up have always been like
a fantasy of yours? A
fantasy of mine, yeah. I want to have like a castle full of them.
What's that under your dress, miss? Oh, that's the Duke of Musselman.
No, not like that. I mean, just...
Oh, you just like
I
that?
I would always... That, just like the way they dress. I would, you know, the big, frilly stuff. Now, honestly, I wouldn't dress like that.
With all the cleavage and all that stuffed in your face?
But see, if the knowledge you have now, that would be cool to go back.
To go back?
Dude, I'd take over Europe.
No, I don't know. I think they'd run Europe pretty quick.
I'd take Europe.
You would might have a short. Nope. You might have a short, very short run.
No, nope. I would take over Europe. They would show build you a the, huge army, come over, kick the crap out of the colonists.
Yeah,
take over the United States, and then I would give Europe back. But then I'd keep the United States.
Because we have Mexican food.
We have good Mexican.
And then you would head to San Diego. I'd
build my palace like in Denver, Ooh. Colorado.
Denver, it's too cold.
I'd have a palace.
So? I don't care. Like, palace. You'd have a cold palace.
And I would build, like, a great wall around all of Colorado.
you wouldn't need one, honestly. It's not like people are storming to get into Colorado. So you could just go there and do your thing.
I'd be the emperor. Of North America.
Emperor of North America. That's not a bad... It's not a bad gig. I think living, you know, really good quality of life in the United States, living in the 40s and the 50s in the United States...
I want to take over a country. I want to experience taking over a country. It's been a life goal dream of mine. I've kind of thought about it. It's on the bucket list. It will never happen. I get that. But just to be the, you know, that's just
such,
take over the country.
Such
I would a, turn it right back. I promise.
Such a risky business, though.
That's what I like about it. Yeah. It's got the sense of danger, the risk.
Hold on. Consciousness after decapitation. Stand by.
Oh, here we go.
We've all seen the countless horror movie scenes, blah, 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 blah. First of all, that's according to the molecular biologist Francis Crick, who looks every bit like a molecular biologist, in his novel, The Astonishing Hypothesis, consciousness is simply the result of electrical activity in our brains. The activity comes from neurotransmitters, which basically send signals to the brain, blah, 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 blah. Therefore, as long as electrical activity coming from these neurotransmitters are functioning in the brain, one could assume that the entity is experiencing consciousness. The activity can be observed through advanced technology. So according to this...
Yeah?
Okay. the first case of respondent severe head... of respondent severed head was Francine 1793 when Emily Corday's facial expression changed numerous times in the few seconds after it had been chopped off. Since the guillotine provided a clean sever, the brain undergoes no trauma and will continue to retrieve signals until blood loss kills the entity. In 1905, Dr. Berlot conducted a study upon the execution of convict Henry Langui, where he recorded Langui's activities for 30 seconds following the beheading. He noted that the severed head was able to open his eyes and focus them on the doctor when Berlot said his name, even though further research on the topic in relation to humans is limited, because we just don't do that many beheadings anymore, scientists can gather research from prior cases of human decapitation and animal testing. So I think I'm right.
Oh, God.
I love that.
This is like, no, we're not having this conversation.
No, I love that because I also have, where is the article that I'm supposed to ask you about? Mac Gunner said this.
What article?
Why the U.S. Marines love the M27 infantry automatic rifle so much.
Right.
It uses a term that they want you to translate it.
Chicks dig it? CDI?
Not CDI. For decades, the fire team's automatic rifleman has been equipped with the M249 squad automatic weapon.
Right. It's heavy. It's cumbersome. It's always been like classified as the boot gun. You know, the boot always gets...
No, this is not... It had to do with a term called minutes. Minutes of elevation or something like that. Does that
minutes of angle. MOA.
Can you explain minutes of angle? And it talked about minutes of angle and then effective fire at a distance.
Minutes of angle.
What is that?
Is that what they're talking about?
I believe. I it's the wrong article. I'm looking for the term. Oh, the main difference between the M27 and the M249 squad automatic weapon, however, is accuracy. The M249 is first. Okay, let me just give you the background. Last week, Mike made a comment about, you know, people, and it was relative to the M14 and Jack Riley saying that, I can't remember, he made a comment about what a great weapon the M14 was. And then Mike said, you know, guys who haven't seen our new weapons, they don't understand. We're not even having the same conversation. The metrics that they judge a weapon with are no longer applicable. All right. And then Mike used the example of suppression. All right. Suppression, when we were young Marines, was a large volume of dirt going up in front of, and hopefully maybe you hit somebody, but it was certainly making them get their heads down. That was suppression. Mike said, how about this? How about if suppression is when somebody sticks their head up, I shoot them in the head, which would be pretty effective suppression. This is on the back. The email that I got referred to that discussion. And then this is the paragraph. The main difference between the M27 and the 249 is accuracy. The M249 is first and foremost a machine gun and is accurate to about 12 minutes of angle, meaning rounds will hit within a foot of their target at 100 yards. The M27, on the other hand, is approximately a 2-minute angle of what? A 2-minute of angle weapon, meaning it will land rounds within 2 inches of the target at 100 yards. In the hand of a trained automatic rifleman, this scales upward, so the M27 will deliver rounds within 12 inches of a target at 600 yards. Okay, explain what they're talking about.
Okay, so you want to talk about just simple, let's talk about simple.
Yep.
Minutes of angle.
Start with simple.
Let's go simple. Okay. Simple is there are 360 degrees of arc in a full circle.
Yes.
Correct?
Correct.
Each degree consists of 60 minutes of arc. Okay.
Each degree. So there's 60,
each degree 60 is
minutes
60
of,
minutes of arc.
Of arc in every degree. Okay.
Right. Okay. And now we're going to talk about distance. So what we want to do is it's always determining what you're calculating is angle of arc.
Okay.
So what we refer to in the simplest form is 1 minute of angle. Okay, 1 minute. That's, you know, when we go back again. So there's 60 minutes of arc in 1 degree in a 360 degree circle. So we're talking about 1 minute of angle. One MOA roughly means that at 100 yards, okay, it's 1 inch at 100 yards when you're measuring things.
Okay.
One MOA is 1 inch at 100 yards. So then at 800 yards, it's 8 inches.
Got it.
Okay. But when we start calculating, now this is where, now that's as simple as it gets.
Okay.
Now it gets, we're going to get into crazy.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So now we're talking about a 6-inch radius, like a target.
Yes.
6 inches is what we talk about killing, right? That's usually a big animal. So the circumference of a 6-inch circle is radius times 2, right, or pi. So we're talking about then pi is what, 3.1416? Not 3.14, it's 162. Because you got it, we're talking about this. So do your math, is 6 times 2, and then we multiply that by pi. We get what? What's 12 times pi?
60. 12 times
no,
pi?
No, 12
times pi 12
times
or 12 times
3.1416.
I don't know. You got a calculator?
It's got to be like 36, 37
okay.
inches.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, I mean, it's your 12 times 3 is 36, right?
Correct.
We got to round that up because we got something. So let's say, argument's sake, it's 37
okay.
inches.
Got it.
Okay, that's the distance covered by 1 degree of angle.
Okay.
So now we got to convert, divided that.
At what distance?
We're not talking about distance yet. We're just talking about arc.
Okay, arc.
Right. So when we talk about 360 degrees, now we got to divide that by 360 degrees, which comes out to, like, now I get a calculator. All right. It comes out to 0.1 inch at 6 inches from center circle. And so now we got to divide that by 60. So now we get 0.001.745 inches at 6 inches center circle. So now we know that it's 1/600 of 100 yards. So 100 yards at 36 inches, 6 inches at 600. Therefore, the value of MOA at 100 yards is 1 inch. Bingo. We just solved our own problem.
Okay.
So that's how we – that's what I just said. So when we talk about 1 minute of angle, we're talking about that. It's a 6-inch circle. So we're at radius.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So how is this measured? Is this the variance of the weapon itself as it functions?
It's the tolerance of the gun.
Okay, so the way we would measure it is this weapon is in some apparatus that doesn't allow any deviation. And
right.
It's
no human error.
No human error. So it's just the gun itself.
Shoot, let's say 2 minutes of angle. 2 minutes of arc. Right? So that means, but see, now when you talk about, now we're talking about outside that six inch radius. So that's why 1 minute is so important. When we say two, the gun is a sub-minute gun by itself. The HK416D is a sub-minute gun, meaning it shoots less than a minute when you take the human factor away. It's a great gun.
Right.
And that's not, I mean, a lot of guns shoot less than a minute.
Okay.
Good guns.
Okay.
But when you induce the human.
Yes.
Now, like, you know, if you take the average human, if you take someone that's never shot before, they could have up to 12 to 20 to 30 minutes of angle error.
Right.
They'll never hit the target at 100 yards.
Right.
I mean, so it's calculating what the shooter can do.
Right.
I mean, Most guys can shoot.
But this number that they're giving has nothing to do with the shooter. It has everything to do.
It's just the gun.
Just the gun itself. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now, next thing it says, other factors further improve the M27's accuracy. The weapon features a Harris folding bipod, giving it stable shooting position while prone or from behind cover. It also features a Trigicon, ACOG, squad day optic, which supports 3.5 power magnification.
And a ballistic drop compensator inside of it.
All right. And allows target identification and precision fire out to distances of 600 yards. The ACOG also incorporates a rugged miniaturized reflex RMR sight for close quarter shooting at less than 100 yards.
Yeah.
The M27 is described by Marines in the field as two weapons in one. A rifle capable of precision fire to eliminate individual targets, but also capable of providing area suppressive fire like a SAW if necessary.
And when I say suppression, it's so damn accurate, even on fully auto, you know, at range. You're probably talking 2 minutes, if that, minute and a half. I witnessed that gun being shot sub-minute at 500 yards.
Whoa, sub-minute? And that...
All the rounds impact within 5 inches of
themselves. With a human shooting it.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, to be sub-minute at 1,000 yards is what? Within 10 inches,
10
right?
inches, yeah, 10 inches.
So if you have three rounds that land within a 10-inch, and within that, you're shooting sub-minute. That's pretty freaking good.
So so in terms of transforming marksmanship, can you explain to people who don't know the way we I mean, when we talk about qualifying, right?
Right.
Old Marines.
Well, we're talking about different. Now we're talking about.
Could you explain the process now, how a Marine qualifies with their weapon now?
So now, okay, it's a two-week process. The first week is considered grass week. But most people gap off. So grass week consists of some mandatory classes. You sit down. And these are mostly, again, for Lance Corporals and below, because somehow staff NCOs find themselves shirking their jobs to go shoot, or they quote something that says, I'm not required to shoot a rifle anymore because my weapon is a pistol. Officers always find a way to shirk that responsibility. The only guys out there really are second lieutenants because, you know, they don't know any better. They don't know how to shirk responsibility yet. So this process goes on, and it's taught, you know, by guys that virtually care, but they're getting out of the Marine Corps. You know, they got some kind of problem, their disability. Not all of them. Some of them are really great guys. You know, really good. They take it serious. But I'm talking about majority. This is not like the Mike Wishnias who really gave a shit. You know, Then they go through these classes, and then they get the weekend off, and then they got to show up at the armory at 4:30 in the morning because the bus is going to leave at 6. And then they all show up, and it's complete darkness. The range people aren't even there yet because that's what we do. And then we show up on the range, and then the first 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, is just practice. Two strings of fire. You're out there all day long. It's a painful day. And then Thursday is a pre-qual. And then Friday is your qual. And I think they've shortened it down now where it's only 4 days. Qual on Friday, Thursday. So you shoot, you're done, you get out of there. Most of the time, your time is spent those 4 days shooting. You're sitting on these benches listening to everybody else shoot and telling stories about what happened over the weekend. That's it. You know, 1/5 of your time on the range is actually spent shooting. The rest of it, we don't give a shit about your time. Because we, again, it's our actions. We don't care about your time. If we did, you wouldn't be sitting around with your hand, you know, thumb up your ass while you sit on the rec room. You'd be doing something productive.
All right, what about the other tables that we shoot?
Oh, those are a joke. I mean, so the tables, we actually design those tables. I mean, we, the gunners, we sat down part of that. But the tables were designed to get us more ammunition because we didn't have enough ammunition. And it was just a crude, rude way to get it our foot in the door, and then we were going to come back and fix it. You know, now we got all this ammunition. We were spending all this ammunition, money on those breath ammunition. But then the tables weren't necessarily reflective of what our skill set should have been. It was at the time what we could do, not what we should be doing.
Okay, so but tell everybody what the tables are and what other tables that will get shot other than simply
Well, the tables were
the KD range.
Tables were just what we call tables were shooting things. So I don't know, Mac. It's been 3 years, man. I mean, seriously, I have dumped this stuff out of my hard drive. But the tables were, I think, 5 tables. You know, preliminary shooting, qualification, and then stuff after that. We shot at night. We shot with devices, but we never got there.
Right.
We never did it right.
No, but I'm just trying to say, people, you're not just going to do. First question: do you use optics on the range?
Yeah.
Okay. So now.
And that was a forcing function that.
Right.
That was a fight to get optics on the range. It was. We fought. It was a battle. And before we converged from, so the chief warrant officers that were range officers, they ran all the rifle ranges. And the Marine gunners were responsible for shooting, to getting them trained for combat. When we clashed, when we first came to the rifle range, and we wanted these chief warrant officers to allow our guys to shoot with optics. And they said no. We said, what do you mean? So it was, you know, it was a big fight. They didn't understand why we needed to shoot optics because they were the guys of the days of iron sights, rule of the day. We won World War One by iron sights. Yeah, don't you think, though, if someone would have came out with an optic in World War One, they would have said, shit, here we go. Let's make a bunch of these. Instead of saying, nope, shit, we're World War One. We got to do it the whole old-fashioned way. No, they would probably have picked the optic, man. My guess. So
hold on. Let me answer this. The range gunners, they're essentially the custodians. Are they? They're not. Then we create the gunner. So the range guy, the warrant officer that runs a range.
He's just a competitive shooter.
He's a competitive shooter, and that's where he gets parked.
Yeah.
Got it. And they hold sway until the gunners get created, and then the gunners step in front of them, but they don't want to give it up, do they?
They still hold it. They still hold.
Whoa. Really?
It was a fight. That was a revolutionary war. That was a civil war that was going on in the Marine Corps at the time. But then it came out. Then we started outnumbering.
Right.
And then we started having relevance when the war kicked off.
Right.
You know, now before it was just two MOSs bickering with each other, and then it was, you know, then. Senior officers were like, hey, we need more gunners. We're like, you can't create structure, boys and girls. Structure's got to go in order to create it, meaning an MOS. MOS is you have to give, like, 0302 infantry officer, basic MOS. There's a certain number of seats, positions that the 0302 guys have in the Marine Corps. And those numbers are, they're there. I mean, They're etched in stone. And for something to grow, someone's got to give up seats. They got to say, okay, you know what we can do with one less infantry lieutenant in an infantry battalion.
Yeah, it's a zero-sum game. If someone's got to go, somebody's got to get.
Right. So when they said, we need more gunners, we teed it up because I was already a gunner at this time, and we teed it up and said, "Hey, I got an idea. How about we get rid of the range officers?" And that started. It was that turned it into an armed conflict. That's when the war started.
How many of those guys are in the Marine Corps?
There were probably like 30 or 40 of them.
You don't need them. What do you need them for?
Well, you do need them. But
for what?
You need them at first.
The groundskeeper of the range?
Yeah. So you need them at – what it was someone to write a fitness report for all these sergeants and corporals.
Well, what about support? Since support units aren't going to have a gunner, who provides them expertise?
Well, see, and that's where the argument was won. We had the right people in there, and we're like – and we just kind of did it like the, we know these guys over here. And everybody like, oh, yeah. And, of course, they knew that we told them, and we played it like, hey, they came out and asked us. So, I mean, we're not gonna lie. So it started the war, and then shortly after that, we won. They did away with them. But we took 27 of them. The guys that were range officers that were infantrymen, they came in to be Marine gunners.
They all
went to school.
That was a death blow, though, right?
A lot of them retired. So out of 27, I think like a third of them just said, nope, not for me. Because there was a lot of guys at first that they got because they never deployed again.
Well,
they didn't want to deploy.
Truth be told, most people have heard the term retired on active duty. There's a cottage industry of guys who were shooters, who were rolling around with a cup of coffee and running their own little thing out on a range, and they would go shoot, you know, during the year, and they would come back and didn't do shit in the Marine Corps.
Well, no, these guys were, my God, they were, by the time you were a CW04 and you've been out there for, you know, shit, almost 20 years, you had a couple master's degrees, you had your MBA.
Yeah. It was a life.
You're going to school full time.
It was a life.
Yeah.
Great little gig that all of a sudden guys like Mike roll in, and now who's this asshole muscleman that's throwing our shit all over the place?
Yeah.
Ruined.
It was great until someone found out.
It was. And these are the guys, you know, you'd roll out to the range, right? And they'd roll out for the range brief with their campaign cover on, right? And then if they're in their, you know, if they have any kind of uniform on, they have the circular shooting badges, so you know that, like, whoa, who's that? Like, what's he do? So, we learned what a minute of angle is, so I like that.
There's a lot to it.
We had to do a discussion on gun talk. We had to do the M27, and you had to walk through, because I think most people would find it astounding, the metrics of that gun and the way combat marksmanship, or however, whatever term you want to use, is being revolutionized by a number of different factors. I think people would find it very enlightening.
Yeah, and we can tell you how hard it was to convince people that the military needs to – you know, get a little better when it comes to guns. Because it was, you know, the M16A4, and we'll talk about this on there. The gun that we had before was really designed by our competition shooters. It was a competition shooting rifle, not a combat rifle. It was meant to shoot on a rifle range. Because it made absolutely no sense whatsoever to take that gun into combat.
But we did. I'll give you.
It was not a combat. It was actually a competition shooting rifle.
This is one of the differences. And then I'll let Mike comment, and then I'll let him go. The difference is that the improved accuracy of the M27 leads to the need to fire fewer rounds to suppress a target and less ammunition consumption in general. By contrast, the M249, it replaces primarily an area suppression fire weapon with no precision fire capability. That's a big change, just logistics.
It was a huge, huge change, Mac. And like I said, when we first did it, It's called the M27 because 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines did the test. And we did it at range 400, and we were out there. And what we noticed right away was at the same positions we put the saw gunners to suppress the trenches, right?
Right.
The saw gunners would have to aim in and shoot in burst, control burst, 3 to 5 rounds. Right. Fully automatic machine gun fire.
Right.
And that was designed to suppress, to keep the enemy's heads down.
Right.
When we noticed, when we put the M27s in there, and they aimed in on the same targets that were bobbing targets.
Okay, so these are automated bobbing targets.
These are automated targets that when they take the hits,
they go
they're
down.
Supposed to go down.
And then they stay down for a
they're
few
all
seconds.
Over the place. Yeah, they stay down.
And then they stay down for a few seconds, and then they pop back up, right?
Unless they're killed. Unless they take the required number of hits, then they stay down.
Okay.
Before the assault element even gets to the trenches, there's no more targets to shoot. And if people are looking at each other like, well, shit, what do we do now? this just violated every principle rule of coyote-ness here in 29 Palms. I mean, what's going on here? Why even leave?
Yeah.
Don't sweat and run up there. Just stay back here and let these guys and then be done with it.
And then we'll do a movement to contact, and then we'll go see if anything's up there. But we don't need a maneuver element during this, when this shit is...
Just shoot everybody. And so when you tell that to these captains that were ingrained, that this is how... They look at you like, you're insane, gunner. You must maneuver. Ugh.
Yeah.
Said the same guy, one of Napoleon's lieutenants, who probably said, sir, let's get out of line. Let's maneuver. It'll never work. We must stay in formation.
Or else they won't go, go forward.
Same family, same bloodline.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, General Zinni said something, and something I heard him do. Like, you know, he goes, I don't like this whole maneuver versus firepower. Which one do you like better? He said, look, man. He said, firepower is nobody's handmaiden, Jack. I like firepower. Steel on target, stealing bodies. It's good. Why would you send somebody up to kill something when you could do it with something? He said, who does that make sense to? He said, and then he said, I guess somebody who's not sure as hell going with the maneuver element, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Zinni was funny. One of Zinni's great gifts is that he's so funny. He takes that shit and then he makes it really funny. But at the same point, the point is very serious. And he kind of blows it up on somebody. But no shit. No shit, Jack. No shit.
Check this out.
I love, and then he talks about shooting. God, I let me see if I can find the audio for Thursday. But he says, I shot a TOT with tube artillery batteries on somebody's head one day in Vietnam. He said, then we walked up on it. He said, yeah, firepower is nobody's handmaiden, Jack. So he was pretty funny. All right, what else you got going today?
Of course, I got to go to the airport today, go to Love Field, pick up. So I'll be in Dallas.
Love Field. Really, who are you picking up? Who's flying in?
Remember I told you T's going to New York?
Oh, that's right.
So who's coming in is one of her friends that has – they've been friends since, I think, 50 years.
Whoa. Is T that old? She looks like she's in her 30s.
No, she's 36, but that's why I said 50.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting.
All right. They've been friends since the girl coming in today is Maria. Maria taught T how to tie her shoes.
That girl.
Yeah.
Wow. Then you better be on your behavior because you don't want to go there. Email. Hey, Mac, what yardage or meters are Marines required to shoot in order to qualify? Also, what gets a rating of marksman, sharpshooter, and expert?
We could talk about that. Let's talk about that Thursday.
All right.
All right, man.
Those metrics, though, for the most part, haven't changed. All right. Yeah. There you have it. Michael Musselman. He's going to the airport. if you're just tuning in, Nikki Haley resigned as the, and somehow or other you're not connected in any way, shape, or form to any news site. Nikki Haley resigned as the United States ambassador to the United Nations, effective at the end of the year. Now the speculation will begin about what really did Nikki Haley resign for? Why did she? What's really going on? I mean, I think any of us would be foolish to think that at some point Nikki Haley doesn't have aspirations for higher office. Grant Newsham joined us in the second hour. I'll outline my problem with my sprinkler system that I worked all day on Saturday and then found out that it didn't work. No. Yeah. And I didn't, honestly, I didn't even get really angry when it didn't work. I spent all day working on it, confirmed the route of the water, at least I thought. Redid the routing of the two lines, so I have ample pressure in each line, turn the sprinkler system on, and I didn't reroute anything. After all that work, the water didn't get rerouted. My fundamental assumption about the routing of the water must have been wrong. I don't get it. I'd have to excavate the whole backyard to find out, though, how the water is routed. But the way in which I thought it was routed, it is routed that way. And I capped it. So you'll hear about that. You'll hear Grant Newsham, who was live from Warsaw, Poland, with an incredible Skype connection. Sounded like he was here in Southern California. And so we'll talk to Grant about a few things. We'll talk about the resignation of Nikki Haley and the effect of that on American foreign policy, and it will be substantial. You know, Secretary Pompeo does not eclipse Nikki Haley in terms of when America speaks about to foreign nations and about foreign policy. Google in China. Google won't work, again, a common theme here. Google won't work with the American Department of Defense, but it will work with China. That's a joke. That's a straight up joke. And I know there's engineers at Google that listen. So I've got this message for you. If that's what you think that your values stand for, you're shit. All right. They have it in plain spoken English. Yeah, I might not be a search engine, right? Whiz, but I know up from down, your company is shit. If that's what you'll do. Nothing, you're as bad as everybody else out there. And you're kidding yourself if you don't think so. So you'll hear about that. And we'll also talk about Taiwan. What role does Taiwan play in our lives? Should it play a larger role? What's the appropriate stance on what? Approximately 20 million people there? And we'll also talk about Secretary Pompeo's latest trip to North Korea. And should that give us cause for hope or not? So all that coming up on a Tuesday edition of All Marine Radio in case you missed it the first time around. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial. Tomorrow, you're going to hear from a mom about, you're going to hear from Libby. Libby happens to be Luke's mom. So you'll hear from her. And as I kind of move the lens a little bit around on the fight with PTSD, how does that work? So a different perspective. So you will hear that tomorrow. Anyway, on a Tuesday, All Marine Radio, over and out.